It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls these through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under the guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field, in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team that I work with. That's producer Steve, producer Joe, producer Luke, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Monday, producer Joe.
Happy Monday, Kim.
And happy Monday, producer Steve. This is your last week before retirement.
We are on that countdown here.
We are on a countdown, and you will be so missed. Very excited about Joe behind the board, and I think he's just about ready. What do you think, Steve?
He has come a long way in a short time, and I have no reservations here on the technical side of it. I think his biggest challenge will be rising up and trying to counterbalance you, which, you know, I've taught him all the tricks, so let's see where it goes.
We'll see how that goes, huh? Okay, well, good deal. Well, you will be missed and very excited to have Joe behind the board. Check out our website. That is kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And Rick Turnquist was on the show on Friday, and we talked about his essay that we rolled out this last weekend. We rolled out Brad Beck's essay on consistency, which was just excellent. And Rick has really hit a nerve, though. His essay was on Democrats and the economy. The Democrats get it wrong. It's exactly wrong, Democrats and economics. And he's had, over 2,400 people have liked it. And there's been people that have not liked it as well, as I've seen many of the comments coming in, but a tremendous amount of comments as well. And so he really hit a nerve on this, and I would recommend that you take a look at that. And again, that's exactly wrong, Democrats and economics. So check that out. Our America's Veterans Stories with Kim Munson. We did an interview with Bill Federer regarding the Battle of Brooklyn. The Battle of Brooklyn was fought on August 27, 1776. And basically, General George Washington needed a miracle. And he got it, because if he didn't get the miracle, the Continental Army would have been decimated. George Washington would have been captured, and America's revolution would have been over. So that is a great interview that will rebroadcast this Sunday, 10 to 11 p.m. on all KLZ platforms. And that's KLZ 560 AM, KLZ 100.7 FM, the KLZ app, as well as the KLZ, did I say website? And also then the next Saturday, 10 to 11 p.m. as well. I thought I would change it up a little bit. As you know, I have been going through this great Medal of Honor quote book that has been published by the Center for American Values. And it's quotes from many of our Medal of Honor recipients. And it is a great book that I think you should have on your Freedom Library, on the shelf of your Freedom Library at home. And you can get that by going to centerforamericanvalues.org. I thought, you know, I want to make it a more special. I felt that I'm almost bombarding you with these different stories. And I thought, you know, let's maybe ease that up just a little bit so that you can process that more and so that I can process it more. So we will, we'll do those quotes on Fridays. And so we'll have different words of the day and quotes of the day. And so our quote for today, is, from Thomas Jefferson. And he said this. He said, an educated citizenry is a vital requisite for our survival as a free people. And as we've seen, our public education system has been hijacked in many ways. There's many fine public educators out there, but the curriculum has been really hijacked overall. And hiding this CRT, this critical race theory, and DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then I saw an article last week regarding SEL, this is social emotional learning, how these things have really been hijacked. And it's taking time away from kids in the classroom to learn how to read and write and do arithmetic and have civic knowledge and history. And so when Thomas Jefferson was talking about education, he was talking about reading and writing and critical thinking and thinking about big ideas instead of the carnal desires of human beings. And so again, the quote of the day is, an educated citizenry is a vital requisite for our survival as a free people. And that is no truer than today. So our words of the day, and I went to this word that Brad Beck had brought up, and that is eduction. And eduction is the act of, I love this when they do this, of educing, of leading, or drawing out. The act of drawing out or bringing into view. And then the last is an exhaust pipe or exhaust port. Some synonyms could be educe, evoke, elicit, extract, extort, meaning to draw out something hidden, latent, or reserved. And the example that I found, it says, the gift of a puppy finally educed a response from the shy boy. And then contrast that with education, which is the act or process of educating or being educated, or the knowledge or skill obtained or developed by learning process, a program of instruction, or of specified kind of benefit. And so I think initially education, teaching kids to read and write and to start to think. And then I think as you get into the higher grades, eduction instead of indoctrination, but eduction to drawing out, to helping kids think about these important issues. So I wanted to draw the difference between those. So your challenge today is to use both the word eduction and education in a sentence. And it shouldn't be too difficult to use the word education in a sentence today. I think I'll jump over here. First headline is Trump's mugshot. And as many of you know, Donald Trump was arrested along with many others, and he clearly his mugshot, I'm sure that they practiced it. And before he'd even hardly gotten out of the Fulton County judicial area, they were already, I think they had that on T-shirts and mugs and turned that into quite the fundraising opportunity, and also the mugshot of Rudy Giuliani. They both look tough and like they're ready to take it on. Joe, did you happen to see that that mugshot of Donald Trump?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
What's your thoughts on it?
I was laughing hysterically. I think it's a very good play, honestly.
Yeah, how about you, Steve? What do you think about it?
I was repulsed, but what got to me quickly was politically.
You were repulsed by the photo, or
no? The idea that we had to have a mugshot, but you know, in terms of that, now once it's done, it's like okay, bring it. And in terms of making some dollars for fundraising, but I had politically savvy friends and relatives in Pennsylvania who were just doing a slow boil, I guess, or a fast boil. They were just so insulted that, you know, this would even happen.
Well, it is. It is insulting. This is from the Daily Wire. It says, for the first time in American history, we saw a mugshot of a former president. Donald Trump was officially arrested at Fulton County Jail in Georgia. Unlike with the other 900 indictments, I didn't realize it was 900. Oh, my gosh. This time they decided to take and publish his mugshot. There was, of course, no legitimate reason to take a mugshot of a former president. The whole purpose of a mugshot is to provide law enforcement with photographic documentation of the suspect.
Well, the comment that I got was, I am incensed. I am enraged. And I'm saying, okay, now don't be a useful idiot here. That is exactly what it was supposed to do. Get you that upset and make sure that you knew that this guy was, you know, he was a criminal. So it's, don't fall for it.
Right. And so this goes on to say, it says, but Donald Trump is the most recognizable and famous person in the world, possibly in the history of the world. And when he shows up for trial, they aren't going to have to refer back to his mugshot to make sure it's really him. There isn't going to be anyone saying, wait, is that Donald Trump? It's hard to tell. Pull up his mugshot. So why did they take this step? And again, this is from the Daily Wire. I think it was Matt Walsh that wrote this. Let me make sure that I'm giving the right. No, I don't see the exact. Can't tell you. So, oh, yes, it's by Matt Walsh. It says, so why did they take this step? What was the point? The point, of course, was pure humiliation and vengeance. It was also to give the DA, Fannie Willis, a political trophy to put on her wall. It's something that she wants to use when she inevitably runs for the Senate or governor in a few years. Of course, it all backfired, as it was always destined to. The mugshot instantly became an iconic image and had exactly the effect that any half-conscious political observer knew it would have, rallying the base around Trump. Trump is now fundraising off of the image, and smartly so, and will likely raise many millions just from the mugshot alone. In fact, we can say that if Donald Trump does manage to get elected to the presidency again, Fannie Willis will be largely responsible for it. She's the most effective campaign manager Trump has ever had, even if unintentionally.
There's going to be Fannie Willis and Stacey Abrams trading cards, bubblegum cards.
I know. And so, but again, the idea to try to humiliate a former president and a former president who's running for president again, this is so egregious in our country. And I really think that I'm starting to see people that were on the fence regarding Donald Trump that are moving over to really supporting Donald Trump. So this is going to be so interesting to see what happens. Now, the other component of it is, though, is we've got to make sure that we have free, fair, honest, and transparent elections. And I certainly am concerned about that. There are many people that are working on that, but every American should be demanding free, fair, honest, and transparent elections. And there is a small percentage that over on the radical left that I think does not want to make that happen. But I've really got to think the big, broad, messy middle of America wants to make sure that we have free, fair, honest, and transparent elections. And I also think that this is so egregious that people are saying, wait a minute, this is not okay in the United States of America. So several things. Wanted to let you know I was out at the USMC Memorial Foundation on Saturday night, or I guess out at the memorial, for the 46th anniversary of the memorial, as well as the relighting of the flags. And Paula Sarles and her team, Mary, all of those on the foundation board did a great job. It was a beautiful evening. And I would just suggest that each of us, we need to honor these memorials. And a way that you can help them is by donating or buying a brick to honor your military service. And you can do that by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. That's usmcmemorialfoundation.org. But they just really did a fabulous job, and it was just really a great event. Another sponsor of the show is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team can create personalized insurance plans to cover all your needs, from protection for your cars to your home, condo, boat, motorcycle, business, and renter's coverage. Contact the Roger Mangan Team at 303 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
It's Colorado. We want warm homes in the winter and cool, comfortable homes in the summer. Johnny Stubbs Services is the heating and air conditioning company to call to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts provide proper guidance to help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Johnny Stubbs Services. Schedule your air conditioning check before summer arrives at johnnystubservices.com and receive a great gift. That's johnnystubservices.com.
No matter how you define it, inflation is out of control. Increasing prices at the gas pump and grocery stores are hurting everyday people. All these challenges we face are preventable. Individuals must understand what is going on and who is responsible. That is why Kim Munson is bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing our families, our communities, our state, and our country. Now more than ever, it's important to support Kim's independent voice. She has the courage to research and inform you about the real issues. It's not easy, and Kim could use your help. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute. Again, help Kim by contributing at KimMunson.com. That's MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Show comes to you because of sponsors, and one of those is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And they have great lunch specials Monday through Friday. And so be sure and check that out. And how I got to know them, it's a very important story about freedom and free markets and capitalism. And next weekend, I can't believe it, it is Labor Day. And that means that we're right around the corner for Constitution Week in Grand Lake. So I'd recommend that you go to their website, GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. It starts on Monday, September 11th. And first speaker is, it's just a great lineup. On Monday is Rob Nadelson. On Tuesday at lunch, Kelly Johnston on the U.S. Capitol history, the home of Article 1. And then that evening, Randy Moorhead is the First Amendment and Money in Politics. Then Wednesday, 12 noon, there will be a movie, The Constitution is the Solution. And Wednesday evening, there will be a national trivia event at 3 p.m. And then I guess that's that, and that's a lot of fun. And then on Wednesday evening, Andy Paith, who is on Rush to Reason on a regular basis on how to sell liberty. So I'll continue to highlight what will be happening up at Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week, but you can get more information by going to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. Let's go over here to this. This is from Fox News. And Steve, you had found this regarding Maui. I am so concerned about just what has happened. And when you look at this picture, and again, this is a Fox News piece. You see this picture of all of these cars that are burned out. And I was talking with a friend of mine who has relatives over in Hawaii. And one of them had been over to Maui, to Lahaina. And my friends, when you look at these cars, understand that there were people in those cars. Steve, had you connected that dot when you're looking at this picture of these cars? There were people in those those cars and those people did not get out.
Well, I guess I wasn't that, definitive or, in my thinking didn't go all the way. I mean, I know there's still a large number of people who are still missing, and obviously the death toll is well over 100 now. So where these people met their demise, I do not know, or the circumstances. Obviously, a lot of them did.
Yes. And so let's go to this article, first of all. And this is, it says, Democrats' climate change blame game for Hawaii fire confronted by reality after Maui identifies the cause. It says White House clean energy czar John Podesta said Hawaii fires were fueled by climate change. But that's one thing that's so important about the truth. And this is what we have learned about many of these fires is, first of all, that fire that was in California many years ago that they blamed on the power company. What has really occurred, it's bigger than that. And many of these power companies have been pushed by PBIs to put money into wind and solar. There's only so many dollars to go around. And so what that means is they're not able to maybe keep other things going. So, for example, making sure they're maintaining the poles, or making sure that they're maintaining the transformers, or make sure that they are cutting the brush around these power lines. And that is exactly what happened in Hawaii. Now, I don't think the article goes on to say that they've had to make a decision on resources because these PBIs are pushing the green agenda, but that is exactly what happened. But it goes on to say, this is the Fox News piece. It says, Hawaiian officials attributed the cause of catastrophic wildfires to alleged failures from the state's main power utility company and downed power lines this week after Democrats blamed the disaster on global warming. Now, of course, they're going to blame it on global warming so that they can continue to try to shut down our economy with the Green New Deal. And it says in a lawsuit filed Thursday, the government of Maui County, Hawaii, alleged Hawaiian Electric Company and its subsidiaries failed to properly power down live electrical equipment amid a red flag windstorm earlier this month. Due to this failure, downed power lines operated by the utility company sparked a series of deadly fires on the island, the lawsuit claimed. The lawsuit alleges that the defendants acted negligently by failing to power down their electrical equipment despite a National Weather Service red flag warning on August 7th, Maui said in a statement that was released. The lawsuit further alleges AHECO's energized and downed power lines ignited dry fuel such as grass and brush, causing the fires, the announcement added. The lawsuit also alleges failure to maintain the system and power grid, which caused the systemic failures, starting three different fires on August 8th. So now, Steve, I know what you really were zeroing in on is a number of the Democrats, their comments. And one was Senator Ed Markey, Democrat, Massachusetts, an original sponsor of the Green New Deal. He wrote in a post on X on August 10, "This is devastating. This is a climate emergency. I stand in solidarity with my friends and colleagues from Hawaii. We must act fast, provide aid, and invest in a resilient and safe future." Heartbreaking fires in Hawaii. Scientists are clear that climate chaos wreaking havoc on ecosystems everywhere is the new norm. Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat, Oregon, said in a separate post, "We need to take action immediately or else it will get even worse." Steve, there were others, correct? Is there any others you wanted to share with people?
Well, John Podesta, he's been a figure in Washington for a long time and not one that I care to speak highly of. Now he's the White House clean energy czar, and he's calling for policies to reduce carbon emissions to fight future natural disasters like the Maui wildfires, which he said were fueled by climate change. Now here's where I got totally disgusted. You've already talked about the lawsuit itself. Now, up until the time that the lawsuit showed up, these guys were free to keep just barfing out the same narrative, which, again, isn't it funny how they all had the same verbiage? But they're all just saying, well, this is climate change and this is our future, without addressing a technical reason for what really happened. Well, the lawsuit that you just talked about this is the, you know, the pin that popped their balloon, because now it talks to with a solid reasoning. We know what the ignition source was. We know how it all went down.
Right.
And I just get so disturbed by this. And you just read several of them. And, Podesta's was the last one I mentioned, is that they're so happy to just drop it off right there and say, well, this is global warming. This is climate change.
And that's why we have to be so cautious regarding the particular agenda. And as many of you know, and we're really going to roll it out next week, but I was involved in the first film work I've ever done, and that is with A Climate Conversation. And we are going to have an event, a screening of the movie on September 28th. And my friend Walt Johnson, it's been on his heart. He's a geophysicist. He's a scientist. And he brought together other scientists to really talk about having a conversation about the climate. And so we will be selling tickets to that. That will be prepared, because there's a limited number of tickets. It is important that we have a real honest conversation about this. And the fact, as you mentioned, Steve, that the Democrats were out there immediately on this agenda, and then we find out it's because there's was a lot of mismanagement. But the other thing that, and again, we will find this out. And there are times where two things can be true at the same time. I talked with you and Joe about this before the show. and I was trying to think what that could be. And it could be a child. You can love a child, but may not like them at a particular point in time. So two things can be true at the same time. But there are times when two things cannot be true at the same time. And we will find out. And I've seen multiple reports and have talked to people that have said that there was a police officer that prevented people from in those cars to be able to get out. There was a roadblock, and they were not able to get out. And so we are going to find out if that's true, because it is either true or it's not true. And so that's the thing about truth. So, yes, there can be times where two things can be true at the same time, but there was either a roadblock or there wasn't. And we're going to find out about all those cars there and all those missing people. So we have to stay tuned on that, because if, in fact, there was a roadblock, we have to ask why. One other thing where there can be two things that are true at the same time, and I just wanted to bring this to your attention, and this is Ash in America at Substack has written a piece, and it's called Massive Financial Scandal. It says, the latest in the Colorado GOP's ongoing civil war. And it says, in the Colorado Republican leadership elections earlier this year, the establishment faced a reckoning. All over the state, America First Patriots won county leadership roles, and the state GOP chair race resulted in grassroots favorite Dave Williams taking charge of the party. Now, as we all know, there's all kinds of emotions going on in this, but we need to get to the bottom of it. But it goes on to say, it says, in another timeline, you could expect a peaceful transition of power from one leader of the party to another. We are talking about the leadership of a party. And again, this is Ash in America, after all, a team with shared values and vision. But in this timeline, the Republican Party is engaged in a civil war. It says, when former chair Christy Burton Brown left office, her administration claimed to have a surplus of more than $100,000. But according to Chair Williams, the prior administration did not leave the party over $100,000, as they falsely claimed. So, my friends, we're going to find out. And two things cannot be true at the same time. They can't have left $100,000, or not. I mean, we will find out. And so I just wanted to bring your attention to this, that those claims, it's either one or the other. It's not both. And so it's important that we keep an eye on that. Again, it's important that we understand these issues. We get our brain around these issues. We search for truth and clarity. We look at these issues through freedom versus force. And it is just so important that we continue to have intellectual curiosity about what is going on. That is why what Dr. James Linesweiler is doing at the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge is so important. They're going to be rolling out their new courses after Labor Day, which is right around the corner. So go to ipac-edu.org to see all of their course offerings and get registered. And what he's doing, he's matching those of us that are intellectually curious with great instructors at a very affordable price. It could be 12, 15 weeks at maybe $180. And if you put in Munson, you will get a discount. And again, all that at IPAC-EDU. Sponsors such as IPAC-EDU bring the show to you, as well as Karen Levine.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works tirelessly at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With nearly 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market, whether you're buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties. Kim Munson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
Stay up to date on issues in public health and science by signing up and reading Dr. James Linesweiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. Find more information about Popular Rationalism at KimMunson.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And that bumper music that you hear is from Dot Cero. And Steve Watts with Dot Cero, they will be up at U.S. Constitution Week on at the main event on Saturday, as well as the worship event on Sunday morning. And I had talked to Steve. I said, I would love to have Dot Cero is some of my bumper music. When I saw him last year up at the Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week, he says, hey, just talk to my people. Just make sure you get permission to do that, which we have. And so I love that. And you can hear Steve Watts and Dot Cero up at U.S. Constitution Week on the main event on Saturday and Sunday, and they'll do a concert. And so get more information by going to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com for all of their events. On the line with me is Lisa Bennett and Nicole Bennett. And Nicole is Lisa's daughter, and she has a real fan club out here. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us this morning.
Yeah, thank you, Kim.
And Nicole, last time you were on, I got so many comments and really such heart from people. You just really inspired people. So, Lisa, how about set this up a little bit with Nicole, and then Nicole, give us an update on your project.
So I'll set it up by telling your listeners that in Montana, Nicole is pursuing a constitutional ballot initiative that would remove the power to license attorneys from the Supreme Court and put it back in the legislature, which is where it was more than 50 years ago when the Montana legislature kind of messed with their constitution and gave that power to the Supreme Court. And the reason why this is important is if you haven't had a situation where you needed to access the justice system, the judicial branch, you may not realize how difficult it is to find an attorney, especially if who you're fighting is some kind of branch or agency of the government, whether that's local, state, or federal. A lot of times these attorneys don't want to take your case because they're afraid of getting disbarred and having some kind of an ethics violation charged against them. As a matter of fact, that's how people are going after Trump and his attorneys. Mark Elias, who was Hillary Clinton's attorney, who's now on his own with other nonprofits, actually created Project 65, and that 65 stands for the 65 attorneys that represented Trump, and his goal is to disbar them so that he basically ruins their livelihood and their lives. So that's kind of a veiled threat for all the other attorneys who didn't take such a case to not consider one in the future for someone else. And that chilling effect applies not just to politicians, but to us. You know, if you have a municipality that did something wrong to you, good luck trying to find someone to sue, because a lot of these small town lawyers don't want to take the case because part of their income is supplemented by working for the local government and helping that county attorney with prosecutions, maybe child custody cases, or CPS, Child Protective Services. And so as a result, there's a conflict of interest, and they can't represent you because they do work for that government agency you might be suing. So it's important to remove the power and put it back in the legislature so we can start implementing some common sense rules or laws on the way that the profession of attorneys actually work.
Well, that thank you for setting that up. Now, Nicole, first of all, how old are you?
I'm 12.
12 years old. And so tell us, how's the whole project coming along, Nicole?
So right now we're disputing it in legislative services in the Attorney General's office. Language that they took out. They took out the part where the power goes back to the legislature. So we just decided that we better need the clarity because we don't want any lawsuits over this.
What she means is that they approved, we're actually ready to gather signatures, but the language that they approved just said that the power would be taken away from the Supreme Court and didn't explain where that power would go. And we're not certain that the default is that it goes back to the legislature, and we just didn't want to take this effort, gather all these signatures, spend all this money, and then find out that it goes back to the courts, and the courts deem it has to go back to the court. And
okay.
So we want to make sure the language is clear on what's being passed so that we don't end up with a lawsuit on the back end.
Absolutely. That clarity is so important. So is this kind of like a jiu-jitsu at this legislative committee? Or where is that exactly on that, Nicole? I didn't write that down.
It's legislative services.
Okay. Well, legislative services agreed to the language, but when they handed it off to the AG, which was the final step for review, and that's the Attorney General, that was lost in the transfer. So the Attorney General did not approve it with that language. He did not understand that that was supposed to be kept. And so it's back in the Attorney General's office to review to see what we can possibly do about it at this point.
Okay. So you need to get, Nicole, you need to get this clarified before you can go out and start to get the signatures, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So once that is done, what's this timeline? How many signatures do you need to get? What does all that look like, Nicole?
We need to get 75,000 signatures by June of next year.
Okay. And is there a certain time frame? Because I think here in Colorado, there's typically a certain time frame.
The deadline is a certain number of days before the ballots are printed, which puts us at roughly June 20th.
Okay. And what do you think regarding getting this language corrected? Once that happens, can you start to get signatures, or what does that look like?
That's exactly when you can start to get signatures. We're looking for 750 volunteers to get 100 signatures each.
That seems like that should be doable.
It does. We're very hopeful for that. And what's been great is that although the press coverage has favored the Bar Association and the trial lawyers who oppose this bill or this ballot initiative, the general public has read those articles, and there's so much anger and angst against the Bar Association and the trial lawyers that people have been reaching out to us saying that they want to help.
Wow. Okay. So what's that going to look like? I mean, it sounds like it's a really grassroots effort. How many people do you have signed up now to gather signatures? What does all that look like?
So currently we have 100 people that are waiting to help gather signatures. Some of those people are definitely going to get more than 100 signatures, but, you know, to be safe, we're trying to get our 750 goal. Once we know that the language is approved, we're going to be doing little dog and pony shows across the state in September, meeting with different organizations and individuals who we know have a following, so to speak, and get them on board to help gather these signatures, especially in these rural counties where the population is so dispersed, it would take a long time to get signatures unless you were a local, and it would be easy to get them at church or some VFW event or something like that.
Yeah, Montana is a big state. I mean, it is it is a very, very big state, beautiful state, but a very big state. What else do you want people to know? And then there's a lot happening in Montana. I also wanted to talk with both of you about this whole climate change. So anything else about this, Nicole, that you want people to know? And I would say this is just so inspiring. For a young person, 12 years old, to be taking this on, of course, working with your mother on this. Nicole, what more do you want people to know about this?
Legal deserts, definitely. So 23 counties in Colorado are legal deserts, and a legal desert is when there's less than one lawyer for 1,000 people. And that's a big problem, that 23 counties, 40% of Colorado is a legal desert. Montana also has huge legal deserts.
It's a big problem in states that have lots of rural agricultural or ranching or federal land, so people aren't concentrated necessarily in big city centers.
And the few attorneys that there are in these areas, they're usually the county's attorney, and they can't represent anybody.
Yeah, and it's even worse than that, because you also have nonprofits, and you also have lawyers that work for corporations. And so when you have these other attorneys in an area, they're not factored into this figure. So if you were to factor in the judges who are lawyers, the county attorneys and other government attorneys, and also the corporate attorneys that live in an area, your legal deserts can be a lot bigger, but multiply that by the effect of lawyers in your area that no longer want to take cases, especially against the government, because they actually take work from the government, and they don't want to bite the hand that feeds them. So essentially, you're looking at the Main Street lawyer being an endangered species. And when that happens, we, the people, no longer have effective representation. In some cases, we can represent ourselves, but without the knowledge of the legal system, most people that try to represent themselves are extremely unsuccessful. It's a delicate balance. I mean, we don't want everyone to be a lawyer, but we want the people to have access to a lawyer when they need it.
Well, and Lisa, you mentioned something, and no matter where you are, this big, broad, the big, broad, messy middle, and that's going to be your blue dog moderate Democrats to, you know, libertarians and unaffiliateds and Republicans and conservatives, that big, big middle. You just mentioned this Mark Elias, who is trying to go after the 65 attorneys that had worked with Trump. And so the idea that there would not be a fair trial, that there could not be fair representation, that should bother every American. That is so anti-American. And this has been a long time in coming. I know that the radical activist left has had this long march to try to take over the judicial system. And this is just another way that they're trying to do this, is to prevent people from having representation. So, Nicole, what you're doing here is so important, and I thank you for doing that.
Thank you. But one more fun fact before I go. There's actually one county in Colorado, Crowley County, that has no lawyers.
That is very, that's not a fun fact, is that, Nicole? And I want you to stay on, because I want to talk about this, this this case up in Montana regarding climate change as well. I'm talking to Lisa Bennett and her daughter, Nicole. And these important conversations come to you because of sponsors like Lauren Levy.
Knowledge is power. A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all your questions are answered. With nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Kim Munson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Franktown Firearms want you to be comfortable with your firearm purchase, so they make it easy for you. At Franktown, they know you want to try a firearm before you commit to your purchase. Franktown has a 10-lane, 30-yard range built into it that can handle handguns, rifles, and black powder loads, making your firearm purchase informed and insightful. An hour of range time is included with any purchase, so you can verify that you've made the right choice and for you to get to know your new firearm. And training courses are available to teach you safety and techniques to operate it confidently. Whether you're a first-time buyer or seasoned expert, Franktown's dedicated staff and expert trainers will walk you through your decision. They help you to try the firearms that you're interested in, ensuring that they're the right option for your specific needs. Whether you're looking for your first firearm or adding to your vast collection, contact Franktown Firearms today by going to klzradio.com/franktown. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Lisa Bennett and her daughter, Nicole. And I wanted to talk with you regarding this recent legal decision where a Montana judge recently ruled in favor of young people who had accused the state officials of violating their constitutional rights by promoting fossil fuels. I'm looking at a piece from The Guardian. It says, in a 103-page court order, Judge Kathy Seeley of the First Judicial District Court affirmed the plaintiff's claim that a stable climate is included in a right to a clean and healthful environment guaranteed in the state's constitution. She also found a provision in Montana's Environmental Policy Act, which prohibited the state from considering climate impacts when permitting energy projects, to be unconstitutional. The state of Montana says it will appeal, so it remains to be seen if the order will stand. But either way, experts say it changed the climate litigation landscape, though some caution that its direct effects will be limited. Lisa Bennett, what do you think about this?
Well, a couple things that your listeners should know. First off, in Montana, in 1972, there was a constitutional convention where the Montana Constitution was rewritten. In that process is where that language about a clean environment was added. Now, on face value, I think every one of your listeners would agree that we want a clean environment. The problem is that that language then gets interpreted by judges and applied to cases like this one. And when you get liberal judges, which a lot of people might think Montana, red state, you know, good western state, cowboy image, whatever else, you might think that we've got a good judiciary. We actually have one of the most progressive liberal left judicial systems for at a state level in the entire United States. And to put that into perspective, Montana is in the 9th district. For anyone that follows legal cases, most of the liberal cases are brought forward in the 9th District because it is the most progressive, left-leaning federal district of all in the United States. So in other words, if you're conservative, you take your case to like the 4th District or something like that near Alabama versus going to Montana to try your case because of that left-leaning district. Now, Trump did appoint a couple people to the 9th District, so it's not as bad as it used to be. But historically, you know, you're in a district with California, Oregon, Idaho, Washington, Montana. You're going to get a lot of the left judges there. As a result, when Montana's cases go up to Montana Supreme Court, and that's the highest in the courts in Montana, those cases can then be appealed to the 9th District on the federal level. When they are appealed to the 9th District, which once again is the most left-leaning liberal district, Montana is the most overturned Supreme Court in the country, meaning the 9th District overturns the rulings of our Supreme Court more than any other Supreme Court in the other 50 states. So that gives you an idea of how judges will interpret language in laws, or in this case, the Constitution. So what you have is a judge being able to interpret what it means to have a clean environment, because legislators were not clear enough when they put that language in there to balance it with the needs of the economy. So what this case is about is the state permitted, we have refineries in Montana. We've got oil here, and we do have refineries, and they need to be permitted. And a lot of the progressives, not just in Montana but across the country, as you know, they're trying to get us away from fossil fuels, and permitting a refinery is a good way to shut them down and get rid of the production so that we can no longer access gasoline products and are then forced to either go without and move into a city and have public transportation that's EV, or have to purchase an expensive EV car and pay the bill for that electricity, which I'm sure people in Montana, because I'm one of them, and people in Colorado, because I'm one of them, we still are in Colorado as well, we've seen our electric bill skyrocket. The cost of electricity has increased tremendously since Colorado's attack on coal and processing, coal mines and coal processing generation plants. And as a result of moving to the clean, green solar and wind, you're seeing our electricity not be as stable, and the prices just go up the roof. So they're basically attacking Montana where they can to actually achieve the climate agenda that they're after. And I believe that these kids definitely want to have a clean future. All parents and grandparents want these children to have a good future. That's not the issue. The issue is balancing the need in the economy, especially when you're in a rural area. You rely heavily on oil-based products, whether that's diesel or gasoline. We need to be able to economically provide for our families and our ranchers. And our ranchers especially are disproportionately affected by higher fuel prices, and by shutting down more refineries and not permitting them, we're actually doing a disservice to our people here in Montana, and this could happen in other states too.
Well, and Lisa, ultimately that then affects people in urban areas as well, because our rural America is, these are the farmers and ranchers that provide the food that we eat. And of course, I think people have taken for granted reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy. I was just thinking about the danger as well. We were talking about the Maui fires earlier in the show. And those people that were in those cars, and again, we will find out if there was a roadblock or not, but that is what we're hearing, that many of those people in those cars were not able to get out because there was a roadblock, a police officer stopped them. But let's say, first of all, let's just play this out with the fires there. Let's say that that in fact Hawaii Power did turn... turn off the electricity because of the high winds. Let's say that you only had an electric vehicle. It was not fully charged. Danger's right around the corner. In this case, it was a fire, and you don't have enough power in your car to get out of there. I don't think that people have really thought about what that means exactly when they're talking about electric vehicles. Lisa, what's your thoughts?
I agree, but I think another caution for your listeners is that too many of us rely on the government to be there to save us in an emergency. And I think what's clear about the Maui situation is that the agencies involved, whether it's the agencies that are supposed to provide water for fighting the fires because they also didn't provide enough water to fight the fires, or the agencies that are supposed to send out the emergency alerts, or the police officers on the ground, just like in the George Floyd riots, that are told you are going to do this, whether it's in the benefit of the people or not. So like in the George Floyd riots, they were told, stand back, let them burn down the buildings, let them, you know, steal, let them do whatever they're going to do. In this case, in Maui, the police officers were told, don't let people access this area. Tell people the area has been cleared, even though it hasn't. You know, that's been a problem, too. It was reported that a mother was trying to get back to her 15-year-old who was left at home alone with obviously no vehicle, and the police, you know, reassured her everyone's been cleared from the area, and her son wasn't and perished in the fire. So we can't rely on the government doing their job, doing it correctly, and doing it to our benefit or having our best interests at heart. Now, that's not to say that there aren't dedicated emergency service and people out there that are doing everything and risking their lives for us. There certainly are, but you have to understand that a lot of them report to mayors or county commissioners, et cetera, that maybe have other goals. And being from Montana, we had a flood last year over near Yellowstone. We were impacted because we were a county near Yellowstone, and we had over $25 million worth of damage. That damage to Red Lodge could have been completely avoided if they had just let the construction crews that had the equipment that could have gone in to remove the trees that were blocking bridges that were causing the water to flow elsewhere in. Instead, they had police officers and barricades, just like Maui, blocking those construction people from being able to just go to the bridge and remove the debris. And if that had been allowed to happen, the damage would have been a lot less severe. And the thought, I don't know if this is true or not, I'm just going to toss it out there for your listeners to think about, because you always have to follow the money. The thought on why people let something destructive like a fire or a flood happen is oftentimes the federal government, or the local government, I should say, the local government agencies receive lots of federal dollars for new fire trucks, for new services, for new roads. And it actually can be a boon to the local government, even though it actually is an absolutely severe devastation to the local resident.
Yeah, follow the money is an important thing. But the truth ultimately will set us free. Lisa and Nicole, first of all, thank you. We've got a minute left. And Lisa, I think final thought is as citizens, we have to actually, when we talk about government as local, the most local of all government is ourselves. Your final thought.
I agree, and I would recommend that your listeners get involved, and the easiest way to get involved is with their local central committee. And I want them to understand as well that rural populations sometimes have, especially per capita, worse crime and economic situations than people in cities do. And I think Nicole would like to even point out that where most of our attorneys are located that could help address some of these issues, I think it's another interesting fact for people to know. So, Nicole, why don't you end with that?
1 in 4 lawyers are in New York and California.
I'm sorry, what was that, Nicole?
1 in 4 lawyers are in New York and California. Isn't that crazy that all these lawyers are turning into liberals, going to all these colleges because they don't have any other options?
Okay.
And Nicole, not only that, but can you guess which area of the country has the most lawyers per capita?
Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Ha-ha. Okay. Hey, Lisa and Nicole, thank you so much. And I was at church yesterday, and this was a quote that the pastor said. It says, I love you, and I'm in control, God. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.
Want to cry, but tell them.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show. Analyzing the most important story.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls these through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under the guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field, in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment, and thank you to the team I work with, producer Steve, producer Joe, producer Luke, Zach, Echo Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Monday, producer Joe.
Happy Monday, Kim.
And producer Steve is on the countdown. He is going to retire at the end of the week. And you will be missed, producer Steve. Or do we have him on the mic?
He stepped out for a moment, but
oh, did he?
He
okay.
Will say he appreciates all the comments and stuff.
Yes, I know. He will definitely be missed. Check out the website. That's kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And last week, on Sunday, we rolled out the two essays, one by Brad Beck on consistency, which I think is an excellent piece of advice for young people as they're starting their careers. And then Rick Turnquist, his essay, Exactly Wrong, Democrats and Economics. He has certainly had a lot of play on this. Over 3,300 people have liked it, as well as there's been over 1,000 comments. And so certainly has hit a nerve on that with Rick's essay. Quickly, our words of the day. I did two of them. One is eduction, and this is a word that Brad Beck had recommended. And it is the act of educing, which could be leading or drawing out, the act of drawing out or bringing into view, or it could be an exhaust pipe or exhaust port. And the sentence that I found, it says, the gift of a puppy finally educed a response from the shy boy. And then the other word is education, and is the act or process of educating or being educated, the knowledge or skill obtained or developed by a learning process or program of instruction of specified kind or level. And, of course, education is so important. We want our kids to know how to read and write and do arithmetic and know our history and civic knowledge and all of those things. And there's a number of great public educators out there, but we have seen curriculum that has been hijacked by a socialist Marxist agenda. And so my friends, as parents, you must demand transparency on what it is that your kids are being taught in the classroom. And that is all the way really from kindergarten through college. We really need to know that. But to the founders, education was so important. And so our quote of the day is from Thomas Jefferson. He said, an educated citizenry is a vital requisite for our survival as a free people. And I think we're challenged right now to really have an educated citizenry because we are just bombarded with so much information. Some of it's true, some of it's not. We talked in the first hour. Can two things be true at the same time? Yes, I can love my child, but I might not like my child. Or same with a child. A child may love a parent, but they may not like a parent at a specific point in time. So two things can be true at the same time, but then sometimes two things cannot be true at the same time. And I had mentioned this regarding a piece by Ash in America at Substack. She said that there is there's the assertion by the previous GOP chair that there was $100,000 in the account when they turned the keys over to the new state GOP chair, and he's saying that there was not $100,000, and so. Those two things cannot be true at the same time. One of them is true, and we will find out which of those is true. So in that case, two things cannot be true at the same time. There either was money there or there wasn't money there. You go to Maui, there is the assertion that a police officer had a roadblock. He'd been ordered to not let people leave, and that is either true or it's not. And we are going to find out what is happening with that. I am so excited. I will be up at Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week. I will MC their main event. I think this is my ninth year. But go to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com and you'll find all of their events. So on Thursday at noon, let's see, and again, free admission, almost all these things are free. Seth Stern, United States Air Force retired, will talk about U.S. foreign policy and the role of the president and the legislature. And then Thursday evening, Drew Dix, my friends, this is so special, U.S. Army retired Medal of Honor recipient. He will present on the warrior culture needed to defend our Constitution. And that is going to be so special. And again, that will be on Thursday. You can go to Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week to get all of their information. But something else, Drew Dix and Brad Padula are the co-founders of the Center for American Values. And you can find all their information at AmericanValueCenter.org. But next week, Labor Day, the week of Labor Day, they will be rolling out their new online virtual courses for K through 12, and it's their virtual K through 12 civics education. And the video that they have there to describe it is so important. But this is a way I think that grandparents can help parents in the education of our children. And these online courses are going to be just dynamic, and you can get more information about that at AmericanValueCenter.org. And the show comes to you because of great sponsors. And I had a great conversation with one of our sponsors. And I'm talking with Roger Mangan. He has a State Farm insurance agency, has been in business for 47 years, strives for excellence, has taken care of his family and his clients and his community. Roger, first of all, thank you for your valued partnership of the show.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here and to help inform the insuring public of what is going on out there in the insurance world.
Well, let's talk about Colorado and hailstorms.
Yes, this is the season for sure. One of the things I think listeners should be knowledgeable about or pique their interest in is how claims are looked at by insurance companies. It's important. I think it's important to understand the perspective of your insurance company so you know how to protect your rates, your coverage, and your renewal status. So here goes. Eventually, you as an insured will be confronted with the question, should I file a claim? The key word impacting the answer to this question is your frequency. How many claims have you had in the last 5 years, the last 10 years? As you can imagine, the insurance industry relies heavily on statistical analysis. Too much frequency or having too many claims can result in a non-renewing position on your policy. They can't cancel your policy midterm, but they can choose to non-renew your contract on the anniversary date if your frequency is too high. So let's quantify that a little bit. Frequency, 17 years and 29 years. So here's a stat. The average State Farm homeowner files a claim once every 17 years. That includes catastrophic claims. Catastrophic claims are hail claims. If there's 500 or more claims, the insurance company declares a catastrophic loss. A non-cat claim could be frozen water pipes, kitchen fire, smaller claims that occur outside of catastrophic losses. A State Farm policyholder has a catastrophic claim once every 20, a non-catastrophic claim, excuse me, every 29 years. So if you're having a lot of claims, chances are you're under the microscope. For example, two or three claims in 3 years, or three claims in 10 years, you are viewed as driving homeowners' premiums to be higher for those who don't have that kind of frequency. So if frequency doesn't matter to an insurance company, why are they, it does matter, so they're concerned about it. If there wasn't high frequency, your rates could be 50% lower than they already are. But people with high frequencies are looked at as driving the rates for everybody else. So you're looked at differently, for sure. Kim, I know you've mentioned before in your show, when you have a claim, call your agent first. Unless it's a life and death matter, don't call the 800 number. Don't leave a message after hours. If you do, and the corporate folks take the claim, it becomes a registered claim, possibly a non-paid claim. When it's under your deductible, or later you find out it isn't a covered loss. These claims, even though no payment has been made, negatively impact your frequency. Hail claims are a good example of this. Just because your neighbor is getting a new roof doesn't mean you need a new roof. Another one we have had recently that isn't covered is underground water or groundwater entering your basement through seepage, not a covered loss. So my advice to the listener is call your agent, get some coaching. He or she will give you the help you want and you deserve. As you can imagine, the upward pressure on rates is driven by inflation and increased property values. Thanks for letting me share this perspective. My word, again, of advice would be to the listener, call your agent before you renewal. Review your coverages, your deductible, your endorsements. Make sure there are no gaps and that you have adequate coverage, not too much, not too little.
And Roger, what's the best way for people to reach you and your team for a complimentary appointment?
You can call us at 303-795-8855.
And that is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works tirelessly at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With nearly 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market, whether you're buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties. Kim Munson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Text line is 720-605-0647. And I wanted to mention Jansen Photography, located out here in Lakewood, Colorado. And Glenn Jansen truly does work magic with the camera. And he and Mary just have a wonderful business. They specialize in portraits of families and children and senior portraits. School is starting and it's time to get that senior portrait, and because it'll be needed for the yearbook here very soon. And then all of us need to have that good photo for our political or our business career. And Janssen Photography is the place to do that. That is JanssenPhotography.com, J-A-N-S-S-E-N Photography.com. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Leslie Manoukian. She is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. It's been a while. It's so great to be back with you.
Oh, it has been much too long. And first of all, just set this up for those listeners that may be new to the show and do not know you. So tell us just a little bit about your story.
Yeah, so I used to work on Wall Street until I saw some kind of things that gave me serious pause and felt that I was playing for the wrong team. And then I left, and I ultimately I became a homeopath, a type of holistic practitioner. And then I made a documentary on vaccines, an award-winning documentary on vaccines about 12 years ago. And that really exposed me to the importance of health freedom and the extent to which our health freedoms are under threat and attack. And so when 2020 opened, I had a very good idea of where things were headed, and I started Health Freedom Defense Fund, which you can find at healthfreedomdefense.org, in order to help educate the public about their rights and health freedoms and help them advocate for them and litigate when necessary. And so in the last few years, we've filed over a dozen lawsuits. We've sued the Biden administration three times over their unlawful actions to force contractors and federal employees and just members of the public to do things like take shots and wear masks that are unwanted. And we are the group that took down the federal travel mask mandate, so you don't have to wear a mask on a plane or train or anything like that anymore because of our lawsuit. Yeah. And we have many lawsuits that are still in the works, suing the second largest school district in the United States, the Los Angeles Unified School District. They are still mandating the shot for their employees. They are still displacing members, employees who won't take the shot. And that case is on appeal in Seattle. It'll be oral argument will be heard on September 14th. So that's a huge case that has a huge impact potentially across the country. And then we've got cases against Nike and Disney and still the Biden administration for federal employees. And I think I'm missing one, but maybe it'll come to mind.
Okay. This is so, so important, Leslie. And before we get into this, I wanted to get an update on, in particular, the federal employees case. I'm starting to hear rumblings of new mask mandates. Are you hearing that at all?
Absolutely. Everybody's talking about it. There are Rutgers University just said that they will require masks for people when the school year starts. They will require they're still requiring the shots for students who have no risk. This is, you know, I have maintained since the very beginning that this is not about public health and was never about public health. And I think that that is really being borne out now by their actions, because we know that from CDC's own data that I believe they just recently admitted that only 6% of all deaths that were deemed COVID deaths actually were caused by COVID, not by a comorbidity. So 94% roughly of the deaths, it might be 93%, but I'm pretty sure it was 94% of the deaths were not caused by COVID, which means that there was never any pandemic. It was exaggerated, as I've said repeatedly, by misuse of a test that's not a test at all, but a genetic sequencing amplification methodology. They exaggerated cases. They exaggerated deaths by changing the way that deaths were documented on death certificates. They played all sorts of games in order to frighten you into doing what they wanted you to do, which was to submit to masks, to distancing, to lockdowns, which destroyed people's small and medium-sized businesses, and to taking a shot, which profited those people pushing the policies at NIH and NIAID, Fauci's NIAID, who had patents on them. So, I mean,
Yeah, mask mandates are making a comeback, and vaccine mandates have never gone away in a bunch of universities. I think it's still like 100 universities across the country are still requiring them. It's crazy. Santa Clara in California, Rutgers in New York, and many others. I think no college mandates has a list of that. It's crazy, and Kim.
It is crazy, Leslie. And when I fire up my computer, I will see these stories of young athletes that have fallen over from heart issues. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, we put out a piece. I've been doing a lot of interviews about the whole Bronny James situation. Bronny James is LeBron James, one of the most famous basketball players of all time, son. And he is a freshman at USC in California, Southern California. And a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, he's at preseason training. He's just in practice, and his heart stops. He literally collapses because his heart stopped. And there was no contact, so you can't argue that it was something called commotio cordis. There was nothing. And this is super common. We know that the FDA actually labels these shots as having an increased risk of myocarditis and pericarditis, which are inflammation of the heart and the sac around the heart, and other cardiac-related events. That's FDA admitted on these shots. And there's been a slew of young athletes, like Damar Hamlin had, you know, his heart stopped on the football field in, you know, during Monday Night Football, live Monday Night Football game. I always want to say match because I lived in England for so many years. I have to check my language. anyway, this is happening all over the world, all over the country. These young athletes who are in the peak of their athletic, fitness are having their heart stop. Now, listen, it happens to a few athletes and always has, to a couple athletes every couple dozen athletes every year, but not hundreds or thousands of athletes, which is what's happening. And they don't die. They don't just fall over dead. You know, Damar Hamlin's heart stopped. It took them 9 minutes to resuscitate him. That's not common. Bronny James's heart stopped. It took them, I don't know how long, they rushed him to the hospital. Well, what's interesting now is that a few days ago, maybe last week sometime, LeBron James came out and said, oh, we took him to the Mayo Clinic and we took him to all these facilities, and he had an unidentified congenital heart defect. I'm sorry, but I cannot believe for one second that you get recruited to USC or one of any other top schools without undergoing a serious medical exam that evaluates all of these issues. And they say, oh, well, you know, it's caused by COVID. The truth is that they stopped testing people for heart issues during 2020 before the rollout of the shots because they weren't finding any heart issues, only a very, very small number after cases of COVID. So now they're trying to pass this all off as one, because of COVID, even though they'd stopped actually testing for them because there was such a reduced, there was no elevated risk. And then two, as congenital abnormalities. There's no way that these elite athletes, he was considered one of the top 20 students in the nation to go into the NBA. And his father's a billionaire, that he's not going to be tested to know whether or not he has any issues before he's recruited and then taken on. It's just not possible. So I'm not buying what they're selling. And I think that there's a real problem. And we know that this is a continuing issue with respect to the shots. FDA admits it. They just can't talk about the truth. I think that LeBron's under so much pressure and he can't talk about the truth because, you know, it would come down on him.
Well, and I saw a headline this weekend from the Daily Wire that said the CDC is removing the COVID vaccine adverse event reports from their website. And I thought, that's pretty curious.
I think that's just for spikes. Something I've had guests visiting for the last 5 days, so I have seen that, but I have not investigated what that's all about. So I can't really comment on that,
okay.
With any kind of knowledge, Kim. I'd be speaking outside of my comfort zone. So
Well, and I appreciate that. I just saw that come across the wire, so I just thought that was a very curious thing. I'm talking with Leslie Manuki, and she is the founder of HealthFreedomDefense.org, and it's because of her organization that we do not have to wear masks on airplanes. I mean, what a goofball thing that was. I mean, I've talked with people that said that they would sip a drink for the complete flight so that they didn't have to wear their mask. But I also heard people when that court ruling came down that I think maybe you told me that there one of the flight attendants was going down the aisle with a trash bag and people were gleefully taking their masks off and throwing them in the trash. Leslie Manukian.
Yeah, this is happening all over the nation. People sent us videos and photos, and there were flight attendants singing, "Take off your mask," as they walked down the aisle with bags. There were many of them doing this, and everybody was taking them off. I think maybe everybody but, you know, 1 or 2%, and then it kind of went up to about 10% afterwards. I think some people were thrilled at first, and then they're like, oh, wait, I need to... I need to abide by my indoctrination. They put them back on, but it was very, very low. And listen, you know, people have voted very clearly. They do not want to wear masks. There's no doubt in my mind that they do not want to wear masks, that people are politically over it. And I think there will be a lot of pushback if they do try and reimplement that. They'd have to reinstitute emergency. There are so many different things that they would have to do in order to make that happen. And then I know you probably have to go to break, but I really want to tell you about the Nike case, because we just defeated their motion to dismiss the case, and there's some really positive developments in our other cases. So
we'll keep that as a cliffhanger then, Leslie Manukian. This is Leslie Manukian, founder of HealthFreedomDefense.org. We get to have these conversations because of great sponsors, and one of those is Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services.
It's Colorado. We want warm homes in the winter and cool, comfortable homes in the summer. Johnny Stubbs Services is the heating and air conditioning company to call to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts provide proper guidance to help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Johnny Stubbs Services. Schedule your air conditioning check before summer arrives at johnnystubservices.com and receive a great gift. That's johnnystubservices.com.
Knowledge is power. A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all your questions are answered. With nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Kim Munson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
Stay up to date on issues in public health and science by signing up and reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. Find more information about Popular Rationalism at kimmunson.com.
No matter how you define it, inflation is out of control. Increasing prices at the gas pump and grocery stores are hurting everyday people. All these challenges we face are preventable. Individuals must understand what is going on and who is responsible. That is why Kim Munson is bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing our families, our communities, our state, and our country. Now more than ever, it's important to support Kim's independent voice. She has the courage to research and inform you about the real issues. It's not easy, and Kim could use your help. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute. Again, help Kim by contributing at KimMunson.com. That's MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And wanted to let you know, I was out at the USMC Memorial on Saturday night for the event, the 46th anniversary of the Marine Memorial, as well as the relighting of the flags. And it was really a special evening. And my friends, you can help with raising the money for the remodel of the memorial by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. You can make a contribution, or you could also buy a brick to honor your military service or your loved one's military service. You'll get this beautiful certificate in the mail. And then, of course, when they get going with construction and get those pathways underway, your brick will be on that. So go to usmcmemorialfoundation.org for more information. On the line with me is Leslie Manoukian. She is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. You can find that at healthfreedomdefense.org. And you mentioned Nike. Something big happened regarding your court case and Nike. Leslie Manoukian, what is that?
Yeah, so, Kim, I have to say something. It just makes me so happy every time on your show, and that is the force versus freedom, freedom versus force. I wish, I don't think it's any longer the case, but I wish that all Americans really embraced that ethic, because I think it's one of the most important principles that we can possibly, embrace in any nation. And the United States has been the beacon of light on the hill for this very issue for centuries. And yet that's not what we're witnessing in the last few years in this country. And our mission at Health, Food, and Defense Fund is to get to the point where every single American has that right, that it is something that is embedded in the public consciousness, that there is no force ever, and that it is also codified in law that there is no force when it comes to any of our health freedom issues. And if you look at our cases against the Los Angeles Unified School District or Nike, this is exactly what they're about. So in the case against Nike, we are supporting several employees who are suing Nike over their mandates of the shots. Nike knew by July 27th of 2021, because that's when the CDC announced it, that the clot shots don't stop transmission or infection. Yet they mandated them. What in the world were they thinking and doing? Okay, and remember, Nike is this company that holds itself up as being, you know, inclusive and diverse and all these kinds of things, and they say that they embrace the individual. Well, they denied many employees religious accommodations, and they actually fired them. They denied medical accommodations. So they denied, I hope I didn't say medical the first time. They denied religious accommodations and fired them. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And they denied medical accommodations and they fired them, even though one person was on an approved medical leave. They fired her because she has Hashimoto's disease and also an approved immunological condition that prevented her from getting the shot. She told her supervisor, and while she was on approved medical leave, they fired her anyway, even though the EEOC and the ADA, EEOC Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, says that immunological conditions are covered as a under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and they fired her anyway. They fired one of her colleagues who requested religious accommodation. They denied her religious accommodation twice, and they fired her. Ultimately, she ended up getting the shot at the 11th hour. She ended up having, they didn't fire her. I apologize. You know, I'm not very good in the morning, Kim.
You're doing great.
Anyway, they didn't fire her. They fired a couple of other colleagues, but she relented at the 11th hour and got the shot after they had refused her religious accommodation twice. And she suffered severe and adverse event, and she had to actually leave Nike. She had to quit. She couldn't work anymore. And there are others who whose religious accommodations were denied as well and were fired for it. These were senior people who'd been working at Nike for 7 years, 11, 12 years. One of the people had been working there for 31 years. These are people who are losing their pensions. They've undergone tremendous anguish. And Nike, when we helped them to sue, Nike sought to have the whole case dismissed. And guess what? That motion was denied. We won. So we get to go forward under the Americans with Disabilities Act claim for medical discrimination, not accommodating that medical need. and also two claims under the Civil Rights Act of 1964 for religious accommodation. And so these employees are going to have their day in court, because when a motion to dismiss is denied, what it means is that the case can move forward and that the plaintiffs can proceed with discovery, which means that we get to review their internal communications. Won't that be interesting, Kim?
That'll be super interesting.
Yes,
absolutely.
And we get to depose their executives, ask them questions under oath, and we get to actually litigate, which means hopefully going to a jury trial and have a jury evaluate whether or not Nike was acting lawfully, which they clearly were not, because it is not lawful to deny people's religious accommodations, which are actually protected under the First Amendment to the Constitution. And that has actually been supported in two recent Supreme Court cases, one of which is called Groff versus DeJoy, who's the U.S. Postmaster General. Groff is an employee who was working for the U.S. Postal Service and didn't want to work on Sundays, because when he took his job, he was told he wouldn't have to work on Sundays because it's his Sabbath, it's his day of rest. And after a period of time, they told him he had to. And this went all the way to the Supreme Court, because he said, no, I'm not going to work on my day of rest just because Amazon wants you to deliver packages. And so what happened was the Supreme Court ruled that it's protected under the Constitution, number one, and number two, more importantly, the only way that an employer can refuse to accommodate a religious exemption is if it would be, quote, a substantial financial burden to the conduct of that employee's business. Okay, it has to be substantial. And accommodating these employees at Nike would have cost Nike nothing, because they'd already been remote. They were already working remotely. These employees said that they would continue to work remotely. They said that they would test, and they even said, even though they knew that masking was a farce, that they would mask. And Nike would have nothing of it. So we think that Nike is going to be in a really difficult predicament going forward, because they really don't have any, you know, the Supreme Court has basically already come out and said that religious accommodations must be granted unless they are a substantial financial burden to, you know, conducting business. So that's going to be a really, really uphill battle for them. And the Americans with Disabilities Act already recognizes that immunological conditions are covered. So, you know, on all of those counts, they're going to be in trouble. But here's the other issue, is that during the oral argument, when the judge was hearing Nike's argument why the case should be dismissed, this just cracks me up. Nike argued that their policy was not a threat. It was just a policy.
Oh, but yet they were firing people.
And it said the policy specifically said that you would face punishment. You would face disciplinary action up to and including termination. But that wasn't a threat. That wasn't a true threat.
You know, Leslie, as we're talking, you and I met, gosh, maybe in 2020. I mean, we haven't met in person, but we got connected then. And I was just, as you're talking, I'm just thinking about this journey that you've been on, that I've been on, that our listeners have been on, because when you first started Health Freedom Defense Fund, there were still, you and I, we both, I think in our gut, we thought something isn't right here. But it's been a journey, and to go through the legal system, it takes time to get to this point. So this is, I mean, you've just been so persistent in this, and this is so important, because it looks, I got something from a listener that I actually would like to ask you about, and so let's do that. And people can text in 720-605-0647, but I've got some other questions that I wanted to ask you about, Leslie Manoukian.
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead.
Can I just say one thing on this? It's so important. We are suing Nike for damages. Nike is going to have to pay for what they did. Okay? And the reason that is so important is because these corporations acted as though they were an extension of the state and that they could not get in trouble for what they were doing. And the truth is that you can't just violate the Constitution because you decide to or because the president tells you to. You can't do that. You have to stand for your employees' rights. You cannot just treat your employees like they're disposable. You cannot just violate their medical and religious needs. You cannot do that. And so if we can hold Nike accountable and make them pay significant damages, and we're doing the same thing in our case against Disney, we are going to send a serious warning shot across the bow of all of corporate America so that this never happens again. This is why we are supporting these employees, because this is in the public interest of every American who works for anybody other than themselves. Because no employer, no business, no college, no government bureaucrat should be able to tell you that you have to violate your own religious beliefs or risk your own well-being, your own health and well-being for a job or to go to school or anything like this. And so if we can force them to pay serious damages, we are going to send a warning to everybody. And that is why we're pursuing these two cases, Disney and Nike. I think they're super important.
They are super important. This is Leslie Manoukian, and she is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. And she just mentioned the Constitution, which that's a great segue into Grand Lakes U.S. Constitution Week. It is September 11th through the 17th. And on Friday, it will be Youth Appreciation Day, and that's going to be pretty darn cool. And then Thomas Kranewitter will present on Friday evening. The main event is then on Saturday. And that will be at the in the park at the Grand Lake Center, and at the park, and it will be really a great event. And I am the MC for that, and the keynote speaker is Dr. Carol Swain. So that's going to be super awesome as well. You can find all of that at GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. They have all of the events there. And again, the show comes to you because of great sponsors, and one of those is Boson Law.
A recent report notes that the number of children diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder is consistently and dramatically increasing. This is heartbreaking. If your child or grandchild or someone you know has been diagnosed with autism or ADHD following exposure to Tylenol or acetaminophen during pregnancy, call Boson Law at 303-999-9999. Boson Law is a Colorado-based law firm who has been fighting Big Pharma for over 20 years. Call now at 303-999-9999 for a free, no-obligation review of your potential claim. Call now at 303-999-9999.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms wants you to be comfortable with your firearm purchase, so they make it easy for you. At Franktown, they know you want to try a firearm before you commit to your purchase. Franktown has a 10-lane, 30-yard range built into it that can handle handguns, rifles, and black powder loads, making your firearm purchase informed and insightful. An hour of range time is included with any purchase, so you can verify that you've made the right choice and for you to get to know your new firearm. And training courses are available to teach you safety and techniques to operate it confidently. Whether you're a first-time buyer or seasoned expert, Franktown's dedicated staff and expert trainers will walk you through your decision. They help you to try the firearm that you're interested in, ensuring that they're the right option for your specific needs. Whether you're looking for your first firearm or adding to your vast collection, contact Franktown Firearms today by going to klzradio.com/Franktown. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Call-in line is 303-477-5600. Text line is 720-605-0647. And we have on the line with us Leslie Manoukian. She is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. And got a text from Christy Whaley. She said, never have understood why any reason had to be given for refusing the shot. We're free people. Just say no. And it was unbelievable, Leslie, as we were going through this whole reaction to COVID, of just the fear that was put into people, the threat of their job, their livelihood, government deciding that some businesses were essential, some weren't. It was just crazyville, Leslie Manoukian.
100% crazyville. First of all, the comment that you got from your listener is exactly our mission. First of all, we totally agree. It is upside down that you have to ask for an exemption. No one should have to ask to do what they believe is appropriate with their own body. That's it. So we are trying to, ultimately, Health Freedom Defense Fund's goal is to get rid of all exemptions because we want to get rid of mandates. Mandates shouldn't exist in a free country. Our Declaration of Independence say that our rights come from our Creator, not from the government, not from anybody else. They are innate. They are innate to us, inherent to us by virtue of being born human. That's it. Full stop. We end it there. But we need to re-educate Americans because they've lost their way. They have forgotten that they are free, you know, free children of God. They are, and that the government is curtailing unlawfully our rights. We don't want it this way. And so we need to actually re-educate the public about our rights. We need to help people, teach people how to advocate for them, and we need to continue to litigate. And this is exactly what Health Freedom Defense Fund is trying to do in order to, as I mentioned before, embed in the public consciousness this understanding and codify it in law so it never happens again. And yes, I was fully aware of what was going on from the very beginning in early January of 2020 because I had been studying vaccines. Remember, I made a documentary on vaccines. I was involved with Health Freedom already for many, many years. And when 2020 unfolded, I knew where this was going because they'd been taking away exemptions. Remember, what right. The government giveth, the government can take it away. That's the bottom line. So don't ever give your power away. We've just been asleep at the wheel. Americans have been asleep at the wheel, allowing all sorts of transgressions and violations of our Constitution to take place for more than a century. And that's why this is happening. And we need to right the ship now.
Well, and this will be a really big deal. And now tell us a little bit more about the Disney case.
Actually, can I tell you about LAUSD? Because Disney's very similar to Nike in that it's a...
Sure.
It's a employee who was bullied and harassed and terminated for not refusing to get the shot for religious reasons. Our case against LAUSD is huge, and it ultimately could affect all Americans. And I just want to say as well at this point that we can't do this work without the support, the generous support of people who are passionate about our rights. And so, you know, we're really grateful for anybody who wants to help us pursue our mission. The case against the Los Angeles Unified School District is huge because we have a very old lawsuit from 1905 called Jacobson versus Massachusetts that went to the Supreme Court. And that case said that a city or a municipality could mandate a vaccination for in an extreme emergency like smallpox that had a 30 to 40% death rate. Or if you didn't want to take the shot, you could be fined. It didn't say that the state could plunge a needle into your arm. Okay, but that lawsuit, that case, has been used to provide cover to all of those mandating everything for the last few years, despite the fact that there's a whole body of case law in the last 60 years, 70 years, ever since the Second World War that says that you have a zone of privacy around you. You have the right to bodily autonomy. You have the right to refuse medical intervention if you don't want it. You have the right to refuse life-saving interventions if you don't want them, and even life-extending interventions if you don't want them. So there's this conflict between the law, case law from the early 20th century and all of the more recent jurisprudence. And that needs to be reconciled. And that is why our LAUSD case is so important, because we are forcing the courts to look at that disparity and update it. Who wants to go back to 1905, Kim? You and I couldn't vote. Women couldn't vote. Black people were subjected to horrific Jim Crow laws. Nobody wants to go back there. So why are we using a case from 1905 to govern or dictate what we do today, even though all of the case law in front of the Supreme Court since then has actually contradicted that? It needs to be updated, and we're doing that in our Los Angeles Unified School District case. They're still literally firing people who won't get the shot. This is crazy. It's got to stop. And so this case, you know, any of us could be any of those teachers or employees at LAUSD. They are the average Americans going to work every day, doing their job, and they're being subjected to this, like, tyrannical bureaucratic edicts. We need to stop it.
Boy, these are really huge cases. Now, again, people can contribute by going to healthfreedomdefense.org, correct? Healthfreedomdefense.org to help you with this important work.
That's correct. You can go to healthfreedomdefense.org. You can sign up for our newsletter, which is free. We don't bombard you. We only send it out a couple times a month, 2-3 times max. You can become a member for $10, and you can donate to Health Freedom Defense Fund in general on our donate page, or you can go to our legal corner and donate to the specific lawsuit or litigation that you want to support. So there's a couple ways that you can do that.
Okay. So, Leslie, we have about 3 minutes left, and I received this from a listener at the end of last week that there was a COVID health advisory. This is down in Florida. I've not totally sourced it, but it said that people are advised to wear a mask because of the COVID Omicron XBB variant. It's different, deadly, not easily detected. What have you heard about that?
Well, you know, they're trying to make a stink that there are these, there's a resurgence in cases. It is minuscule. In Florida, mandates are banned, so I don't know how that's possible, that could be happening in Florida, that there could be a mask mandate.
Okay.
Because they've been banned by the state. But there is definitely a resurgence in they're saying that there's a resurgence. But listen, this is the same fear-mongering that there was before. There's also two other things that they're saying. They're saying that people who got the shot are more likely to get COVID, so you should get a new clot shot. That's what they're saying. They're saying if you already got the shot, you're more likely. This has been admitted by the CDC. You're more likely to get COVID again, and therefore you should get another shot. Does that make any sense? You've already damaged your immune system, so damage it further. I think part of this is hyping it up in the run-up to flu season. They've said, you know, go and get it before October 31st. It's basically because they're trying to hype it up to sell more shots, is one of my views. The other view is potentially that they're trying to hype it up because they do want to reintroduce mandates of all kinds, because it's an election year and they want division, they want people afraid, maybe they want mail-in ballots, all the other things that they've done. The biggest thing is that when people are afraid, they defer to authority, they do what they're told. And so I think that that's the biggest objective. But this is really... I think that this is a lot of hype in order to achieve a couple of different agenda items. And I think the answer is noncompliance.
And I think that less people are going to be compliant this time around on this. But I think that there will be these scare tactics. And there's something really, I think, criminal about doing that, trying to scare people. And the work that you're doing is just fantastic. Leslie, your final thought for our listeners. We've got a minute.
You know, you just said something so interesting. I never thought about this before, but you said that they're trying to frighten people, and that should be criminal. It's illegal to shout fire in a theater. I wonder if we could pursue that, if it's ill, you know, that they've basically been deliberately drumming up fear in order to manipulate the public. It's crazy, but that, I think, is what's happened. And I think the only answer is to educate yourself about your rights so that you are able to stand up for them. No one has the right to tell you what to do with your body. No one. And there is good law that says that. And if you, you know, this is what we stand for at Health Freedom Defense Fund. This is our mission, to try and help you to stand for your rights. So we hope that you will, you know, support us. We hope that you will spread the word about what we're doing. We hope that you'll sign up for our newsletter and share it with other people, because it's very, very important work, and we're trying to push back and help you to be free.
I love it. Leslie Manoukian, again, that is healthfreedomdefense.org. And very appropriate. Our quote for the end of the show, and again, I was at church yesterday, and this was a message from the pastor, from God. This is this: I love you, and I'm in control, and that's God. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.